B-Pod Studios.
Just as a warning, this podcast will contain WrestleMania-related news that could be considered spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WrestleMania.
And welcome to WrestleMania 3.
The Mega Power. WrestleMania 5! Upon the examination of the galaxies of space, images begin to appear. Images of strange and powerful forces. But of all the forces in the universe, the two most powerful, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, prepare to explode. Champion versus champion. Title for title. It's the ultimate challenge. It's WrestleMania.
Reports are that Roman Reigns is out of WrestleMania. The reports are that the Usos were upset that The Miz was sick, and it caused Roman Reigns to back out of his WrestleMania match against Bill Goldberg for the Universal Championship. Roman Reigns has a compromised immune system because he's had battles with leukemia, and he was medically cleared. Who and how is he medically cleared? We're in a pandemic right now, and being within 6 feet of another person is pretty much against the law. Roman not being flagged is just another example of the lack of humanity that has always been a problem in pro wrestling. Roman Reigns should be sent home until further notice. And here's a detail that I haven't seen anywhere, and I almost said on Felger and Maz on Friday afternoon. Supposedly, WWE, and more specifically, the NXT brand, has what was described to me as a patient zero, and the roster wasn't happy that this was kept from as many people as it was. I think this patient zero is a staff member and not a wrestler, because if it was a wrestler, I know for a fact I would have heard about it by this point in time. I just really hate the fact that Roman, Reigns, or any other performer had to medically disqualify themselves from a match because of a compromised immune system or a medical issue. But good for Roman for standing up for himself. Mike Riley, Joe Murray, they're with us today. This is our WrestleMania preview show, but I wanted to start with the Roman Reigns situation. Mike, I'll start with you. What do you make of Roman Reigns having to medically disqualify himself from working in a WWE match?
Absolutely disgraceful. And when the company knows of the bouts he had with leukemia, dealing with that not too long ago either. This was 18 months ago, 16 months ago at this time now. Second time in his life as well. Not the first, but two times he's had to deal with that, with a very low immune system. And to have him to go to the medical staff like that, I mean, good for him to take a stand, like you said. And also, it makes everyone else, I think, that may not want to participate in WrestleMania because of COVID-19, a little nervous because of that. Good for Roman being that leader in the locker room to stand up to everyone in WWE and to say, hey, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And you know what? If no one else feels comfortable doing it, then you shouldn't do it either. So good for him to do that, but disgraceful by WWE. Not medically, not, you know, doing their work on the medical side of things where he had to do that. Absolutely shameful.
Joe Murray?
So I agree, like on a human side of things, he shouldn't be involved, right? I mean, just everything he's been dealing with for the last couple of years. But let's look at it at a Vince McMahon angle, right? He doesn't want to cancel WrestleMania. He wants this thing to go on. The reports are he didn't want to do it in front of people. Well, the Performance Center is where it's going to happen, and they'll have the best, you know, directors out there and everything to that degree. But do you remember Roman Reigns and John Cena having battles back and forth? John Cena saying, they bring me back because you can't do the job? And I understand it's a health thing with Roman, but this is Vince McMahon once again trying to pass the torch to Roman Reigns, and I'm not being insensitive. I'm not. Looking at it as a wrestling view. Once again, they want him to be the top dog and it be his yard, and he declined.
Yeah, can I jump in on this real quick, please? Because now it's not in front of a crowd. There's no crowd here. You know, virus or not, there is no crowd. If there were a crowd, maybe a little more incentive. But I think he's kind of looking at it like, you know, Jimmy made reference to it last week here on the show, how Vince views WrestleMania as just another show. So good for Roman to do that, but he wants him to be the guy right there. Not saying he's failing at it, but there is no crowd. It's not going to feel like WrestleMania. Whether you like it or not, you can slice the cake any way you want. It is not going to feel like WrestleMania. That's just how it is.
So, Joe, there's I can support your argument in this case. I've had a few interactions with Roman. Seems like a chill guy. And I think for him, the most important thing is for his family and his health. And you get to a certain point in life where your kids are more important, your wife is more important, your family's more important, and he's got a ton of money in the bank. So he's in a position where he can say no. And that's kind of what he's doing right now. I think my point of view is, why did the WWE medical team allow him to enter the performance system, performance center, and allow him, why did they medically clear him when there's so many health issues here? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I don't think I'm being insensitive by any means.
It's a good talk radio point.
I'm just looking at it as a Vince McMahon angle, right?
Right.
But at the same time,
Joe, to your point, Vince McMahon doesn't believe in sickness, and he doesn't believe in this, and you know, Kyrie Irving doesn't believe in the coronavirus. Yep. You know, there are people who just don't believe in sneezing.
If we can use a football analogy, because Rob Gronkowski will be the host of WrestleMania this year, Rob Gronkowski retired on the Patriots early, and it held their salary cap up, and they couldn't make moves. In this case, did Roman do this too close? And again, I don't love the fact that they put this on Roman, right? They should have been like, yeah, Roman, why don't we push this back to SummerSlam or some other time? They put it on him. They canceled early. They're still promoting the match. They're still promoting this thing. So, again, I don't know if that's a Roman thing pulling out a little too early, or it's the fact that, hey, man, this thing's really serious. I don't think we're taking it serious enough. I'm going to lead this by example and step away.
Well, they're still promoting it. I think it's all been taped. That's why.
But they, if it's taped, they can re-edit it and they can resubmit it. It's not like the VHS tape is going out on the carrier pigeon like it used to.
Well, you got to think that, obviously it'll be the go-home episode of SmackDown on Friday where they make the formal announcement that Roman Reigns will not be part of the match, and then they determine who the new opponent is for Goldberg, Braun Strowman. But, you know, that's the hot rumor out there. We'll see. But, you know, in terms of, now what about this? Roman Reigns, here's a guy that has had the health issues. Just to talk about Vince McMahon not believing in the sickness and so forth, Vince is not a spring chicken. He's 74 years old. He is also pretty susceptible to an illness like this as well. So he's going ahead with everything too. He's got to be very careful himself. I'm just saying, like, old timers here are most susceptible to the coronavirus.
My whole thing is, this is going to be one of the most publicly watched things we see because of what's happening in the world. How many people have you heard lately that aren't even wrestling fans tell you, wow, man, do you see them out there with no fans? I've heard that more than ever. This, I am so actually intrigued to know the number of buys, the number of viewers that this thing has. I wouldn't be surprised if the stream goes down at one point.
Oh, yeah, it will.
This is going to be huge, huge. And that's why, Mike, you said that Vince just looks this as another pay-per-view. Come on.
Yeah, he does. He does, Joe. He does. No, absolutely, Joe. Joe. I said this last week. I've heard it from a few different people in that company. This is just another pay-per-view for Vince McMahon.
Well,
and here's why there's that belief is the Royal Rumble was done at a baseball stadium. The Saudi Arabia shows that are happening. Vince can now go to any area and get a football stadium or a baseball stadium if it's available. There was talk about Gillette Stadium hosting SummerSlam, but Robert's not paying for that.
Well, there's also a Revolution match that week.
But the bottom line is Vince McMahon and Robert Kraft have been wanting to do business for a long time, and Robert just won't pay the money for it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
And WrestleMania 33 was on the table for Gillette. I can confirm that. They came very close. It's just the fact that it did not hold 80,000 people, that they couldn't do it. That's why they did not
pull it. But they lie about those numbers. It's the money. It's
the
money.
I know. I agree.
Robert didn't want to pay for it, and that's fine. He doesn't. He can spend in the middle of the league for the salary cap. He doesn't want to pay real money. It's okay.
Right.
Well, if there's one thing.
And neither does Jerry Jones, by the way. Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay real money to the salary cap, so it's not just a Robert Kraft thing.
If there's one thing we can all agree on, there'll be a new WrestleMania crowd record this year. Zero.
I know, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you said that. Just to touch on Joe's point again, where, you know, Vince jumping on this here and having all the viewership and so forth. Sure, that's great for the network. It's going to bring in new viewership. I think that's where he's trying to parlay on here. But what do you do after WrestleMania? Like, there's going to be nothing too much. I know some shows have been taped, but we just got the new rule in from President Trump today as we're taping tonight, March 29th, that we're going to be pretty much quarantined again here through the end of April. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens for new content for WWE throughout the month of April as we go into SummerSlam now, the next big show. And then, of course, Money in the Bank at some point. When is that going to happen? I don't know. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they do this here. Okay. They're doing everything they can. Be grateful for it.
So here's what I know about here's what people have told me about how they're going to do things going forward, and then we'll get back to WrestleMania stuff.
Yep.
They have shows taped until their next plan to go live with SmackDown is April 10th. And the performers who live in the Florida area will be the ones who are on Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Until further notice, with an exception here or there, but it's pretty much everybody within driving distance, even though the airports are empty.
Right.
And they should be.
Yeah, just no one wants to travel.
But at the moment, the plan is live SmackDown on Friday, April 10th from the Performance Center, and it's just going to be people who live in the area. And that's kind of what I know. And we're due a draft, right? So that's a week's worth of shows.
Okay,
doing the draft, and you can manipulate that however you need to, because you know, we all generally, I think like 90% of the population has an iPhone, who has a cell phone. The video quality on these things is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, last thing for you guys: do you see a punishment here? How will they address the Roman Reigns angle after WrestleMania?
No punishment.
Oh, I don't think he'll be punished. I think he should be home until we're through with this.
Okay. Just let me rephrase.
Okay.
Does he get set back? Is he still on the main event card?
Yes.
Does he go off camera for a while, like Jimmy's maybe suggesting?
How do they
present that Roman went away because of a pandemic?
I think it's simple. I think you do a few things here. You could have, if it's going to be Braun Strowman that's going to fill that spot there for Roman Reigns, you could just very easily do a work where he's the guy that goes and attacks Roman Reigns. Oh, Roman's hurt. He can physically not be able to take part in the match, so he'll be taking on Goldberg. Then you have Goldberg retain, and then you have Roman, when he's healthy, to come back to go after Goldberg for the Universal title, probably at SummerSlam, and win right there. I think that would be the perfect case scenario for that. But again, like we've seen with Brock Lesnar as the WWE champion, he's not on Raw every week. So you don't need your Universal champion on SmackDown every week, especially if it's going to be for the 2 hours there. As Jimmy mentioned, a draft as well. You don't need Goldberg there for that. And you probably don't even need him for that much during the month there. If you're going to show recaps from WrestleMania for a good week and a half, maybe all this stuff is done by the end of the month where you can bring him back and then start building his character to a rival with Roman Reigns when he is healthy, ready to go.
So I don't see any punishment for Roman. I think they should keep him at home. As far as what they do with Goldberg and Braun, and because Braun's the replacement, I would like transparency from WWE. I would like them to just come on with Michael Cole and be like, look, Roman's medically disqualified because of his history, his health issues, and Braun Strowman's the replacement. You don't need to shoot an angle. That is real life. People will understand that. People will 100% understand that. In the same way that when Roman announced he was leaving the company for leukemia, they sent him out to the ring with an open mic, and they told him he has as much time as he needs. But that circle of people who knew that was so very small. I remember because it happened when WWE was in Boston that mm-hmm. weekend that I had multiple people tell me multiple different stories as to why Roman Reigns wasn't on the show in Boston and wasn't on the weekend's worth of shows. So the people who know are Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, maybe Paul Heyman and Triple H, and that's probably it.
Hmm. That Boston show was the night before he surrendered the title too.
Yeah, and talking to people in person, including yep. Seth Rollins, by the way. He was told something that wasn't even close to being true.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. So, top secret stuff.
So, one match. Let's transition into Goldberg versus what we think is going to be Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Pig bleep of a match. I would keep the Universal Championship on Bill Goldberg. I like Braun. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying that Mike, Joe, myself, we all like Braun.
Yeah.
I would rather see Goldberg have a little bit more of an extended run and get us to hopefully Cena versus Goldberg at SummerSlam, assuming Roman's home until further notice. And then you can have, if you want to do Cena versus Roman at Survivor Series, that works out well too. But if you're not transitioning from Goldberg to Roman Reigns, I think keep the title on Bill Goldberg because you're frozen for however long. So why not? Mike, Joe, thoughts? Have I stumped the panel?
I like the Goldberg John Cena thing for SummerSlam. Makes sense to have Cena, you know, win the title in Boston.
17th time in Boston?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. It's a built-in story.
It makes sense. Again, I'm not ruling out the Roman Reigns theory where I said, you know, you have him go after Goldberg at SummerSlam or, you know, down the line. So, yeah, one of those theories are great. I don't see a championship changing here at WrestleMania because it's easier that way for storyline purposes. Like, I guess you could have Braun Strowman as a champion too, but again, you'd need a crowd. You need a crowd. So Goldberg, you can get away with that. You don't need him on TV every week until we're in the clear for everything with COVID-19.
My whole thing is this. Goldberg was supposed to give up the title.
Yep.
Now. He's supposed to give it up. Now it's Roman who can't do it. So next man up is Braun Strowman, so we think.
So, Joe, do you believe that Braun should be the Universal Champion?
At WrestleMania.
I think that's what they had in the cards. I think Goldberg... I'd be curious if he wants to extend this. I don't see why they couldn't push Braun. You have another big guy. I don't know if Lesnar's going to drop the title, so maybe he takes a step back or time off. You might need to put the strap around a big guy who actually needs the belt, right?
One of the reasons why they pick Braun Strowman, in my opinion, is because it's a size thing. So Goldberg is this unbeatable force, but he's in the ring with somebody who's bigger than him who might be an unbeatable force, even though we've seen Brock Lesnar just run right through Braun Strowman in the past. So,
yeah. And that's a good point. The crowd factor there, Mike, that you mentioned too, the fact that can titles really change without a crowd? Like, that's something to look at. You know, guys, I'm intrigued. I really don't know. Like, I think we all assume that it's going to be Goldberg. They're going to extend him, and they'll go to
SummerSlam. No, I think just the opposite. I think Braun's going to win, and because that way Goldberg can go home, and then they can dust him off when they need him again. And because Braun lives in the Florida area.
I was going to say that. He's the most
availability.
Is the best ability. He lives there. They can count on him right now. I think that's what WWE needs, is guys they can count on at the moment.
Yep, and that's why I think Braun will win this. And by the way, I don't know the results. I wish I did, because then I'd see if they were actually right when they happened, but I don't know the results.
Can't find them anywhere. I've checked so far. Nothing.
They're available if you know the right people. One idea from my guy Elliot in Boston, he thinks Baron Corbin should beat Bill Goldberg, and then when Roman is ready, Roman beats Baron Corbin.
King Corbin.
Kind of like that. Not bad.
Because it's it's not in front of a crowd. Baron right. Corbin's the number one villain amongst wrestling fans because they don't know how to handle him because he's actually good at being a villain. So why not have Baron Corbin, a former football player, mind you, beat Bill Goldberg? And he can cheat. And now Baron Corbin can say he's been the Universal Champion and he can cut his promos. And it just adds to his resume, which annoys the hardcore fans.
Mm. Also based on availability, too, right?
Yep, availability.
True. So, yeah, I like it if you want that way there. But, again, going back to my point where I don't think you need the Universal Champion each week on TV, which we've seen on Raw numerous times. If they can get away with that for a three-hour show, they can certainly get away with it for a two-hour show, not have your champion each week. But it's a hot take. I like it, though. It's something creative. Give it a shot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So I asked you guys what matches you are looking forward to for this year's WrestleMania. We'll start with Joe Murray. And the reason why I start with Joe Murray is because I think his match should be the main event of what would have been a 7-hour pay-per-view in Edge versus Randy Orton. Joe, why'd you pick this match?
All right. So all you wrestling fans out there and Stu and Sarge, you guys can tag along here. If you go to a website called Sporkle.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Sporkle. That's a great website.
They have WrestleMania Lifetime Records.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the record book and I looked at the history of Randy Orton and Edge. Did you know that Randy Orton has had 15 WrestleMania matches?
Yes, and I can tell you the record. You want to know?
What is it?
6-9.
Boom. Boom.
I did my homework.
He retained the title twice at Mania, Cena and Triple H, won over Seth Rollins. Beat CM Punk and was the Money in the Bank winner. But he's lost to AJ Styles a year ago. Fell to The Undertaker during the streak. Lost a memorable match against Rey Mysterio, who became the champ. Lost to Triple H. Lost to Kane. And then obviously that Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. So he's 6-9 in his career. You know what Edge's record is in his career at Mania?
He is, let me see. I have Edge right here. 6-4.
6-4.
That includes the tag team matches, too.
He's lost 4 out of his last 6 WrestleMania matches.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had wins over Booker T and then won the championship against Del Rio. But his legacy, of course, includes that triangle ladder match in 2000, the TLC tag match. He was the first Money in the Bank winner, sorry. And he had that hardcore battle with Mick Foley at, 22 or whatever. But he's lost to The Undertaker during the streak. He's lost to Cena. He's lost to Chris Jericho. So, you know, I look at it. He's lost 4 of his last 6.
Mm-hmm.
Can Orton lose again at WrestleMania?
100% he can. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, and all the hype is on Edge. Again, has lost 4 of his last 6 WrestleMania.
And he also hasn't worked a match since the Del Rio match.
Right, about 10 years ago.
And what does Edge do after this? I know he signed a contract.
You know how old Edge is? You know his age? It's 46. Randy Orton is 39.
Oh, the next time we see Edge will be SummerSlam or Survivor Series. That's his next match.
What would be the next angle?
Well, so that's for WWE to come up with a second guess.
I think you keep this thing going with heel heat from RKO, the best finishing move in wrestling history. So the more
diamond cutter.
Whatever you want to call it. But I like a guy that's...
Our boy Mean Gene Levanchy from Fox 25 would be very happy to hear that, James.
Randy Orton's a Hall of Famer, and he should have a better record at WrestleMania and not job to guys like Kane, all right, or Rey Mysterio. Sorry. I know the crowd... There is no crowd. The overwhelming praise would be Edge. The hate heel on Orton would stink all the way to SummerSlam.
So, Joe, the reason why Orton has a losing record is because he's a bad guy. That's the easy answer right there. I like where you're going with this, but I think that Edge is back, and Edge is only back because AEW offered him a contract or was going to offer him a contract, right? And he wants to work. So magically, get this, WWE Medical, this is a theme, I'm criticizing WWE Medical, is they cleared a guy who they medically disqualified 10 years ago. You watch, they'll medically clear Paige here within the next year, and that'll be the wrong move because they're going to get caught. They're going to get caught, and I'm not rooting for this. I want to be clear. I'm not rooting for this, but they're going to get caught with somebody.
Well, with the trend. The trend, she's due.
But they're due to screw up a clearance here. And I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I'm 100% wrong. But
just
please.
One last thing I wanted to add. Since the last WrestleMania, records have become important in pro wrestling. So that's why I'm bringing that
up. Well, yeah, because AEW has made wins and losses important. And oh, by the way, AEW changed how WWE shoots their empty arenas. Amazing how that happens. And this is... Yeah, it's amazing how this is the thing that people don't in the history, because Vince McMahon likes to write history all over again. And this is a little bit of a sidetrack, so I apologize that we haven't been like focused at the task at hand this week. Vince McMahon had a regional territory and just offered more money to different people to leave their territories. Hulk Hogan, Bobby Heenan, Gene Okerlund were all offered more money at the time to leave the AWA and go to the WWF. Hulk Hogan years ago was a villain under Vince McMahon Sr. and wanted to go do Rocky III. Vince Sr. didn't want him to go. So Hogan left New York, and when he came back from the movie, he went to Minnesota and became a big star in the Minneapolis territory. And then he got into an issue with Vern Gagne over payoffs, and oh, here comes Vince McMahon Jr., who wants to transition from Bob Backlund, the good old American shooter boy, into say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and just invest all this money in different territories. He bought out the Houston territory, got all their talent, bought out a lot of the Mid-South territory, and so on and so on. Vince McMahon just offered more money, which ironically enough happened to him years later, where WCW and Ted Turner opened up the checkbook. Come on in, Hulk Hogan. Come on in, Randy Savage. Come on in, Rowdy Piper. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. And that's what happened. So now, ironically enough, AEW is getting guys with good money contracts, but they're giving them creative input. So Jericho, Cody, Kenny Omega, Brody Lee. John Moxley, known as Dean Ambrose, Matt Hardy left. He was offered more money. Matt Hardy and Brody Lee were both offered more money to stay and sit on their couch from WWE, but they wanted to go to AEW and be creative. John Moxley, the same thing. There are other talents who wanted to leave WWE, but they stayed because they offered them stupid money not to go, and those talents are currently creatively frustrated, but you know what? They're home and they're making money, so they're getting something out of it. Anyway, that's a...
So that's why Edge is still with the WWE, I get what you're saying.
The only reason why Edge is wrestling right now is because AEW offered him money to come wrestle.
Right. And as far as... I like what Joe did say there with... Randy Orton winning this to, you know, drag it on. Absolutely. I'm on board with that. Give me the Randy Orton over Edge. Even if Edge is to win, bring this rival back somehow, have Orton, you know, screw over Edge on the Raw after or something like that, you know, come in and just interfere and maybe, you know, bring in Beth Phoenix somehow. Just bring it, keep the rival going. It's the best thing going right now for pro wrestling, the best rival between the two. And Randy Orton, he is 39 years old. That's crazy. I mean, he's been around for a long time. He's done a lot, underappreciated career. We've talked about it in the archives here before. To have a 6-9 record, does he deserve better? I'm with you, Joe. But even if he does lose, he still brings out the best in the performer of Edge.
I mean, I think this match should go on last on any WrestleMania. I think Edge should win. It's criminal that this match will have no fans. Because of the fantastic build, Randy Orton's motivated. It's the best we've seen Randy Orton in a while. Edge's promos, even in the empty arena, have been strong. This and Joe, this is why I wanted you to go first with your match, was I thought this should be the main event of WrestleMania. It won't be. It can't be, because you just don't know what you're getting at.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Edge, Mike Riley, your match, one of your matches, was Charlotte Flair challenging Rhea Ripley for the NXT Championship, the NXT yeah. Women's Championship. Mike, why was this a match that you feel like emphasis should be put on it? Why you're invested in it?
Yeah, so a few things on this. Like, it's every day since this match was announced, it's like a flip of the coin. Who I really don't know, but I have so many theories on who, why Rhea Ripley should win and why Charlotte should win. So we know that Rhea Ripley has been so dominant since coming into the scene. She's made herself a prominent figure. She's only 23 years old. Charlotte, we know where she's gone in her career, a 10-time champion. She's well on her way to becoming a 16-time champion, of course, tying her father, the legendary Ric Flair. And there's a couple things there that worries me. If Charlotte is to win, which I'm okay with whoever wins this, but if Charlotte is to win this, It scares me for the future of Rhea Ripley, because what has happened to Asuka since Charlotte beat her 2 years ago at WrestleMania 34 when she was undefeated? And, you know, it worries me that this might be a dwindle effect here for Rhea Ripley. However, though, if Rhea Ripley wins, we know that's a huge win for her, beating Charlotte, who is probably the best women's wrestler of all time right now at this point. That's a huge feather in her cap right there. And then Charlotte becoming the NXT Women's Champion. So that's why I'm kind of leaning more on Charlotte to win and why she should win this match, because without a crowd for NXT in the future, at least the next month or so, I think it's important to have a figure like Charlotte there who can hold the title and garner your ratings for the television aspect of things. WWE has made it clear that they are no longer a developmental brand, I guess you could say. They're their own brand, and they're not even allowed to have people say they're being called up to the quote-unquote main roster, because we've seen Finn Balor go back down to NXT, and you may see other people go to NXT. So I think it makes sense for Charlotte to win. I also think it makes sense for Rhea Ripley to win. This literally is a flip of the coin for me on this one here.
But you're picking Charlotte to win?
Yes.
Joe Murray, your thoughts?
Rhea Ripley should get over here. The odds actually have her in favorite, as a favorite in this one. Listen, Charlotte could put over Rhea. Rhea can be the most dominant figure in NXT now that Shane is gone. They can start to build up that woman's evolution back in NXT. And Charlotte goes back, and she's still a main card wrestler. I think it's going to be a good match, but I think Rhea, in the end, the result should be her retaining and continuing to develop. I know I don't want to call it development, but continue to develop that women's division in the NXT.
So as much as I love Charlotte and I want her to win, Rhea Ripley needs to win this match. It needs to cement her as the dominant female on the NXT brand. This is a 100% dream match for the hardcores. And I mean, I haven't been into Charlotte being on NXT. I think while I'm looking forward to this match and I love the idea of this match, I don't want to see Charlotte on NXT. I want to see Charlotte on SmackDown. That's where Charlotte is going to have the most exposure, because she's the best female wrestler in the world today. And I think that when they do the draft, they need to put Charlotte in front of the most eyes that they can and build more opponents for her. Maybe maybe it's a long, maybe they go back to Bayley. Maybe they do something with Carmella because Carmella's had her number. But they need to find more opponents for Charlotte or give Charlotte the summer off again and bring her back at SummerSlam. Maybe they can pull Lita out of retirement again. But if Charlotte's not going to be the champion, put her in dream matches. Rhea Ripley's a dream match, but I think it's important that Rhea Ripley wins this match because it doesn't hurt Charlotte. It doesn't hurt her. And to the point about Asuka, they didn't know what to do with Asuka beyond the streak in the same way that WCW didn't know what to do with Goldberg beyond the streak. And it really took up until the Becky Lynch thing where Asuka kept beating Becky Lynch to give Asuka something. And then they had to halt that because Charlotte needed the title to go into the triple threat match so that they could do Becky two belts. And that's kind of the issue. I think Asuka's had a really good run the last few months being a tag team champion, part of the Kabuki Warriors.
Right, but just as far as the individual one, that's just my only fear on that. Just to use that comparison with the Rhea Ripley thing. And sure, does she need it more than Charlotte? I'd say so. But again, back to my point to help keep the ratings afloat there for NXT, that's where I see Charlotte winning this match.
So for me, I'm most interested in Drew McIntyre challenging Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. And the reason why I'm interested in this match is Brock should retain because Drew McIntyre had a great Royal Rumble, fabulous Royal Rumble, got the ovation he should. But Drew McIntyre deserves to have his moment of beating Brock Lesnar in front of fans and to get the reaction of a triumphant good guy, much like when he eliminated Brock at the Rumble and when he won the Royal Rumble match. That's what Drew McIntyre deserves. So keep the championship on Brock Lesnar until you can get that moment. And maybe that's Drew McIntyre has to win the Money in the Bank to get his rematch. Maybe it's something like that where he cashes in, surprises Brock, which leads to another match, and Drew McIntyre wins in more impressive fashion. But I think Brock Lesnar needs to retain over Drew McIntyre.
I think because of the situation, Jimmy, I agree.
Yep, Brock Lesnar cannot lose this match. I love Drew McIntyre. Again, to the point of where Goldberg winning that there, you don't need a champion on Raw each week. And we've seen that with Brock Lesnar over the last couple of years now. He does need that moment. This match needs to end in a Paul Heyman screw job disqualification somehow to have Drew McIntyre have his shot back at a rematch on Brock Lesnar. That's how it's going to end.
Is there anybody harder than Drew, though?
No, it's a great opponent for him. It's awesome. And I love Drew McIntyre. It's great what they did, but he doesn't deserve to win in front of no crowd.
Ooh, okay. What? I think he deserves.
Well, if not in front of no crowd.
If there's anyone who deserves, it's his story is magnificent.
In front of no crowd.
I know.
He needs a crowd, Joe.
I know.
The talent is getting robbed here. It sucks. They're getting robbed.
But we're still here at home watching it.
I know, but they're getting robbed with no crowd, and they're doing the best they can. They really are. So,
well, I think the dynamic of wrestling is about crowd reactions, and they don't have that. Yeah. And so, McIntyre deserves to have that type of celebration, in front of people, and that's kind of like hold it off, like. That's what I think, although it's criminal to deprive somebody of their moment because of circumstances that are beyond their control. But I think Brock should retain and let Drew chase until we're in a better place in the world.
And Drew last year was promised a match with The Undertaker. It didn't happen. He did his job here, did a great job building the character at the Royal Rumble. He'll have that shot again to become champion at some point this year. It'll happen.
Joe Murray, your next match that you were most interested in was Seth Rollins against Kevin Owens. Explain yourself.
I would like to do a mea culpa regarding Seth Rollins. I have been on the Inside the Ropes podcast in the past, and have been highly critical of him.
Love and appreciate.
What I believe I said was he's answered the bell every single time, and it's not moving the needle. So I looked into this a little bit here, and right now he's the Monday Night Messiah. He is still one at the top of the card on Monday Night Raw. It's Buddy Murphy and the other two goons that he's bringing along, and eventually those guys are going to get put over, right? Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, 6-1. He has a better record than Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. He's beaten, so I looked at it here, Chris Jericho, and then he beat Seth's match. But Seth Rollins, though, outstanding at WrestleMania. And the promo that he did about Owen saying that, you know, he has the home field advantage at the Performance Center, that's absolutely not true. Like, yeah, he might have been at NXT, but watch the FCW thing. You know, watch how Seth Rollins came over from Ring of Honor, went into FCW, almost got booted out. They had to change his whole entire brand. They didn't like anything that he did, and he was the most skilled guy there. He was doing promos about how, why am I not called up yet? Like, Triple H made that guy earn it more than anyone. And you could say that Kevin Owens might be one of the greatest independent wrestlers of all time. You know how many matches he has in WrestleMania history?
So he wasn't on last year's. He beat Jericho in Orlando. He lost the Intercontinental Championship at 32 in Dallas.
And then, 4, right?
And then Shane and Bryan. He lost to Shane and Bryan.
And that was New Orleans in 34.
Year. So he doesn't. 4 total. He does not have a lot of experience when it comes to WrestleMania. And he should be what? At the top of the card. The Jericho match was outstanding, and that was one of the you know, you just made the list. The friends, you know.
Oh, you mean the match in Orlando that should have been for the Universal Championship, that should have been one of the main events of the show, that was changed to the U.S. Championship because Vince McMahon thought that Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg needed the Universal Championship.
That one there.
Yeah, that match. I love that match. I thought that was a fabulous match. And you know what Vince McMahon thought of that match, Joe Murray? One of the worst matches he's ever seen. That is documented on the Kevin Owens DVD.
But think about the people we've talked about when
it comes to our
matches, right? Rhea Ripley, Charlotte, like prime, right?
Awesome match.
We mentioned Edge and Orton still, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, we look at these matches here and it's like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, this is going to lead us into the next generation. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the two guys that we're going to be talking about. And hey, look, you know, 10 years from now, like, and where will this be in the card?
Will this be
the opening match?
So, Joe Murray, little detail here, and I don't know if this is anywhere, it probably is, and I probably stole it from somebody, but this is what somebody had told me. Kevin Owens was supposed to be challenging Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at last year's WrestleMania in New York, but Kofi Kingston got hot, and so rather than put Kevin Owens in the Battle Royal, Kevin Owens is like, I'll just stay home.
Yeah.
That's the story that was told to me.
Okay, well,
and if that's out there and I ripped it off of somebody, I'm sorry, but that was the story that was told to me.
I'll tell you, though, the reason why I picked this match is I think these two guys are trailblazers for the future of WWE, but at the same time, I think Seth Rollins needs Kevin Owens in this match. Seth Rollins wouldn't have been anywhere else without Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is what's making this a great match for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and the way he came into that, he interfered, what was it? Was at the Elimination Chamber. He interfered from the crowd. That was awesome. The feud's been going on for a while. You know, they've really, I think this is like a match we could have seen on a Monday Night Raw. Do you have to fill time for WrestleMania? Yes. But it's not of interest to me, unfortunately. I mean, I hope Kevin Owens wins, but I'm not going to.
No interest from the sides.
No interest. Interesting.
It's not of my most interested ones, no.
So when we were at Hell in a Cell back in 2016, did you leave the TD Garden in protest of seeing Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens in a Hell in a Cell match?
No.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed the night.
You were interested then, but now you're not interested?
Well, it was in attendance.
Okay.
I mean, listen, Seth Rollins, no, I'm all set. I'll take a pass on him. Okay? give me Kevin Owens. I have no problem with him, but Seth Rollins does nothing for me. He does nothing.
How is it that, and I'm going to call you out here if you don't mind, Jay Stu.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember there was a time where Sarge was out on NXT?
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, now he's all in.
You have flipped.
Yeah, that's good.
I flipped on Seth Rollins.
And you flipped on Kofi Kingston last year too, Joe.
But I was there.
Yeah, thank you.
I needed the crowd. I needed the moment, and I got it.
Yep.
But I just want to point out that Sarge out on Seth Rollins.
Goodbye. He does nothing for me.
Excellent. I like this. I wish there were more anti people on anti NXT, anti Seth Rollins. Let's go with more anti people. Like I'm anti Walter. I'm still bitter that he beat Pete Dunne in Brooklyn right in front of my very eyes. I'm still bitter about that. Walter can go to hell.
Mm. Well, I let it go eventually because, I was very depressed after Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania 33. But when Roman took a selfie with me 3 months later, I was fine with it.
Yeah. Hey, we all have a price. We all can be
That's
bought.
That's right. Exactly. Yep.
So I think Kevin Owens should win this match, but Seth Rollins as a villain the last few weeks and months has been awesome. And if I want to make the case that Seth Rollins should win, and if Drew McIntyre wins, Seth Rollins would be a logical number one challenger for Drew McIntyre.
Sure. Makes sense. He's been in that situation before.
So, Mike Riley, your next match that is of interest to you is not Seth Rollins' match. It is Undertaker versus AJ Styles. The floor is yours, sir.
I am probably the biggest Undertaker hunk that you know, and I don't care, and I love it. The fact that this match is not going to be at the Performance Center, thank God, because we need a little change of pace here. I've seen too much of the stuff inside an empty arena, and the fact that this is going to be a Boneyard grave match or wherever it's going to be.
What's a Boneyard match?
I assume it is a graveyard match, but with the pandemic going on, they don't want to call it a graveyard.
Exactly. So that's, there you go. So the fact that we're going to get it outside, I'm fine with that. Now, sure, has The Undertaker, gone down the last few years? He's aged. Yes, but AJ Styles, best guy to work with right there. The lackluster of a build, it has been. No hiding behind it. However, though, the AJ Styles promo on The Undertaker back on March 9th was so real. It was excellent. In fact, that was the last time we had a live crowd for WWE. That was it. Undertaker responds. He's supposed to be in Pittsburgh the week after. We know what happened. That show's canceled. He had to go to the Performance Center. Again, not the same build, but anytime you get the Undertaker in a match this late in his career, anyone that may be against that, the fact that he's not retired yet, well, shame on you. Enjoy every minute of the legend of the Undertaker here. Last year, AJ Styles was in WrestleMania. He defeated Randy Orton, as we talked about. No Undertaker there. 2 years ago, they're both at Mania 34. They both win. 33, Undertaker lost to Roman Reigns. AJ Styles with the win over Shane McMahon. Undertaker, ironically, beat Shane McMahon the year before at 32, and AJ Styles got a win there as well. So
AJ Styles lost to Chris Jericho at 32 in Dallas.
I thought he won that match.
Nope.
Wasn't it a four-way? It was a fatal four-way, wasn't it?
No, Dallas was one-on-one, Jericho versus AJ Styles.
Okay. Excuse me.
Jericho
okay,
won.
So this is his fifth WrestleMania. There you go. Fifth WrestleMania for AJ Styles. It's probably, it might be his most important WrestleMania match. That Nakamura match was supposed to be the big one, but this is probably his most important match right here. He needs it more than The Undertaker, but The Undertaker is going to win this one here to have everything on the line with what AJ said about his wife and just the fact that it's outside the arena. Give me the gimmicks. I am in on this match. Undertaker over AJ Styles.
Joe?
I'm going to go back to TNA versus WWE. TNA, AJ Styles is one of the biggest wrestlers of all time, champion. Can and would they have someone that was created from another promotion beat the greatest character of all time in WWE? I'm not buying it.
Not a chance.
But how many wins for The Undertaker? 23, 24?
24 and 2.
24 and 3.
Is it 24 or 20? Really? Is it 24 or 23? I can't remember.
Whatever.
Yeah.
There's going to be a three.
Undertaker has two losses at WrestleMania. It was Brock Lesnar and it was Roman Reigns.
Roman. Yeah, but how many? Is it 23 or 24 wins? I can't remember.
Whatever. There's going to be a three on there someday. I don't know if this is the year, though. But there will be another loss for The Undertaker.
Okay. Jimmy, doesn't do anything for you?
No. Once they took
it's 24-2, by the way.
Okay, 24-2.
Yeah, just the Undertaker versus AJ Styles match doesn't interest me because I think the Undertaker should have been done after he routed John Cena. There's no AJ Styles is such a great performer, but I don't see AJ Styles as a threat to beat The Undertaker at this point. Now, he should be. He 100% should be. AJ Styles might be the best wrestler in the company. There's a case to be made there, but him versus Taker just doesn't interest me, especially if it's going to be overproduced, off-site. Just doesn't interest me. Like, you're wasting the talents of AJ Styles, the in-ring performer, by putting him in an overproduced match that is going to be riddled with right hands, left hands, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson interference, shovel to the back of the head, all this garbage.
Don't you think it needs it, though? Mania needs it with all the stuff instead of an empty arena?
I have had... There's the idea out there that if you are a good wrestler, if you're a good worker, you can engage your audience with no sound, right? AJ Styles, I consider in that class of worker. So the fact that they have to overproduce it is more to protect The Undertaker.
Oh, God, yeah.
And we know this. We 100% know this, but I think AJ Styles not being in a squared circle is an injustice to what AJ Styles' true talents are. And if there was anybody who could get a good match out of Undertaker, it's AJ Styles. Look at the match that CM Punk had with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29 in New York. That would be Exhibit A for me. And AJ Styles has the ability to do that, and they're not giving AJ Styles that opportunity because of what the world is right now and because they're trying to do different things in overproducing things. And that's why, like, Taker will win and it'll be, 10 minutes of them walking through boneyards and interference and shovels to the back of the heads and whatever.
Do we see Michelle McCool?
Of course you do.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Of course you do.
Listen, the fact that you get The Undertaker here at WrestleMania, embrace it. Just embrace every second of it. And Joe, I strongly disagree with you that there will be a third loss for the Taker. That is never, ever going to happen again. Done on the losses.
I think he gets 25 wins and then three.
He just signed a contract. He'll be around for a couple more years, and I think he'll... he'll at least be winning it two or three more Mania matches. And next year in L.A., he'll definitely be on that card somehow.
Oh, yeah, of course. The Undertaker is going to, until he wants to stop wrestling. But this is an instance where the only reason why The Undertaker has a new contract is because he was going to do a convention with Conrad Thompson.
Right.
And Vince is like, well, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing there, Bruce?
You're my Undertaker. I mean, this is something that doesn't get talked about enough, is the reason why a lot of things are happening in the wrestling world is because of the mortgage guy in Alabama.
It's true. Okay. He's got a lot of pull. More
right?
Than
like Conrad
like
Thompson.
That. The mortgage guy in Alabama.
Conrad Thompson, a mortgage guy, a super fan, is doing these podcasts, and he got Bruce Pritchard a job. He got Eric Bischoff a job for short term. Arn Anderson, Tony Schiavone,
Jake the Snake Roberts. I don't know.
I mean,
got Ric Flair out of debt.
He got Ric Flair out of debt. But his podcast has opened up so many different avenues for so many more wrestlers, like the StarCast conventions. If Conrad doesn't do StarCast, then there's not this want for The Undertaker to do these public appearances, and probably his contract expires.
Yeah, but
because Vince is trying to block anybody associated with AEW, Bret Hart got a Legends contract because he showed up at Conrad's convention and he was available to hold up the AEW championship. The impact of Conrad Thompson, the mortgage guy from Alabama, savewithconrad.com. He's not licensed in Massachusetts, but he's working on it. He's the reason why a lot of these things in wrestling are happening, and it's not talked about enough.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a very powerful thing right there. But Vince just showing that he can flex his arm stronger than anyone else. And like you said, that's his Undertaker. That's his favorite character he ever created. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the fact that The Undertaker will be a part of WrestleMania. Just taking it all in.
One of my favorite performers in a match that interests me is Daniel Bryan. He will be challenging Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. And Daniel Bryan, I've been a fan of for many, many years through his Ring of Honor days and into his WWE days. This eco-friendly Daniel Bryan, which is transitioning back to the Yes Movement, but still with the eco-friendly t-shirt, has been really good. And his mat-based style, and he might be winding down his WWE run. He was on the Bella Twins podcast, and he said that his contract is up later this year, and he's looking to do less and less of a schedule. So in the same way, Mike, that you're appreciating The Undertaker, let's appreciate Daniel Bryan. And he's trying to get Drew Gulak over. He's trying to help as best he can all of these other talents. And, you know, Sami Zayn's been this phenomenal promo for the last, he's been a phenomenal promo for a while. But I think we forget that Sami Zayn was about as talented a worker as there's been. And Shinsuke Nakamura's first match in WWE, which was specifically NXT Dallas, was his best match. And people seem to forget that Sami Zayn is a really good worker. And Sami Zayn, his story with Kevin Owens was fabulous. And so Sami Zayn, while he gets the Intercontinental Championship off of a fluke, is really a deserving Intercontinental Champion. And I think Bryan loses this matchup to Sami Zayn, but I think Bryan's going to do everything he can to make sure that people remember Sami Zayn is one of the best wrestlers in the world today.
You know, we talked about the Seth Rollins match and Kevin Owens with that one being robbed of a crowd. This one on the card is the number one match that is 100% affected here without the crowd. The no yes chance, Sami Zayn just being able to, you know, get everyone over if he can with his amazing in-ring ability and so forth. This is going to be very interesting to see how they do this here. And I'm with you, James. This will be a good match. But again, without the crowd, this one has the number one effect for it, in my opinion, right here. Daniel Bryan here.
Mike, these are two good workers who sound. They'll keep you invested. I promise you.
Oh, I know they will, and that's yes. But as far as reaction, it's going to be weird. But you know what? The fact that I'm going to take Daniel Bryan in this one, I think he deserves a good run as Intercontinental Champion. And you know, Sami Zayn just won the title not too long ago. I'd love to see Daniel Bryan hold on to the title for a little while here.
Good move by WWE putting Sami against Daniel Bryan. And like you guys mentioned, the fluke or not, this is Sami's time to shine. You guys talked about medicals and a guy that's been out for a bit. Maybe they're going to give a little bit of a run to an injured guy and maybe say goodbye to another guy for a little bit who also faces injuries as well.
So I find it interesting that none of us are really invested in the John Cena Bray Wyatt match or the SmackDown Women's Championship or the Raw Women's Championship or the tag team titles. I mean, there are only 15 matches. So, I mean, you know, we pick six, but, is there any like quick thought? Like, I think that WWE in this instance should have done Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler in a cage, And by cage, I mean they did a Lion's Den match with Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock. They could have done something like that. Maybe that's a match for down the road. But interesting that some of the stars, like John Cena, Bray Wyatt, is a Funhouse match that they'll overproduce and kind of does nothing for me. Now that it's a Funhouse match, I was kind of into it before, but now it's got whatever and whatever in it. Now it's a movie production, so it doesn't. If Matt Hardy were producing and directing this, I'd probably be more into it because I trust Matt Hardy's creative stylings. But I'm just not sure about it. So, are there any other thoughts from WrestleMania that we didn't get to and we didn't cover when we're going through our matches that interest us? Mike, I'll start with you.
Yeah, just again, I don't think you're going to see a lot of title change here. Well, the big ones that for the men's side because of the no crowd factor. But then again, Shayna Baszler, does she need the crowd to win a title here? I think she could beat Becky Lynch without that. So it's going to be this is a historic event, two nights. So maybe that's a future test here for Mania as well, as it has been discussed to go to two nights down the line. We'll see how it goes. But they obviously didn't care about the fans before this. 7 hours of wrestling last year where the main event went on at midnight, that was a disgrace. So maybe this is a good thing for WrestleMania to figure out how, one, they can cut the fat here on out if they go back to it one night, or if you really want to go to the 16 mega matches that you have on the card, then go two nights here. So it's a good test for everyone involved, and also curious to see how Gronk does as the host.
Joe, is there something from WrestleMania that we didn't get to that you want to get to now?
Just curious what the outcome will be of Bray and Cena.
I think Bray Wyatt has to go over.
Can Bray get buried again? Does Cena lose?
Yes.
And what? Then you bring Cena back into a big picture again? I know he's Big Match John, and does that hurt his label if he loses?
Well, I mean, they brought Goldberg back to lose The Undertaker, and then they put his next match against Dolph Ziggler, and then the next match after that, he's Universal Champion. So wins and losses don't necessarily matter.
Yeah, there's no title on the line here for Cena, so I don't think it's that big a deal.
And then finally, I'm out on Bayley. Out, so hard out.
Oh, like good. Good job, Joe.
Hard out. I don't like her as a, a face, hug me. And as like a heel, it's like, you're the worst.
Role
model.
What I mean?
Like, I can't like you, whatever you do.
Good job. Good job, Joe.
Just get the title off her.
So I would
where Sasha turns.
I mean, this is Sasha Banks, right? Mm-hmm. It's either Lacey Evans beats Bayley, or it's Sasha Banks does something and gets the title, and you continue the story of Sasha and Bayley as friends and building towards, some type of match for the title, which seems like it's been going on since they both hit the main roster.
Mm.
Yeah, but you being out on Bayley, I full-heartedly support that.
She's like a bore, dude. She's a bore.
You know what? Get some vodka in her, and she'll be entertaining. So I asked this question via text, and this is what we'll wrap up the show with. Your all-time favorite WrestleMania moment, Joe Murray, your all-time favorite WrestleMania moment.
All right. We had the streak ended at WrestleMania 33. Was it 33 or 30? I'm sorry.
30.
WrestleMania
30. Hulk Hogan was the host, if you remember. They brought him back. It was the Yes Movement that was created. We had Bray Wyatt versus John Cena won the Authority, right? Remember they had that big plan to go after the Shield at one point. The Ultimate Warrior was the headline of the Hall of Fame and had that great speech at Raw. This led to Daniel Bryan having to retire after his issues. Evolution had an angle with the Shield, and of course it led up to Brock beating Cena for Suplex City, which finally started. But from a couple of things from what I heard in this match, Shawn Michaels reported that Undertaker was taken away from the Superdome in an ambulance, later confirmed due to suffering a severe concussion during the match. He was discharged, but he said the final decision to end the Undertaker streak was 4 hours before WrestleMania. And Vince confirmed it because he made the final decision because initially the shock, right, that the Undertaker would lose, but McMahon also believed that it would be a huge deal if Brock Lesnar was the one to beat him at Mania. And he also said he didn't foresee any other viable candidates on the roster to fill Lesnar's role within the near future. So 4 hours before, that's when you found out. And we can all remember when Undertaker lost, nobody could believe it. It was the biggest holy bleep moment, right?
Major shock.
So I remember watching it with a group of friends, and we thought the match was terribly boring. And come to find out later that the Undertaker was concussed, and maybe that changes the dynamic a little bit. But because Brock Lesnar was a part-timer, I didn't think he was beating the Undertaker. Are you kidding me? Like, they're going to give the streak to a part-timer? Lo and behold, that was part of their reasoning, because Brock Lesnar had been – he had lost a storyline program to Triple H, which of course he did. He lost to John Cena his first match back on this run. So, like, Brock Lesnar really had – so little value other than he was the UFC guy and he was this, that, and the other thing before that. But the run that he had come back on was just, I didn't believe that Brock Lesnar was going to beat The Undertaker. And I also didn't believe that The Undertaker should lose the unbeaten streak at WrestleMania. The concussion thing happened early in the match, and the story out there was that Vince McMahon left WrestleMania to go in the ambulance with The Undertaker to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And Taker doesn't remember that match. I think it was documented on Steve Austin's Broken Skull Memories podcast, Broken Skull thing on the WWE Network.
And I know, Mike, I know you're a big Undertaker. The reason why I chose this match
is to troll Mike. Good job.
It might not have been a great match.
No,
but the ending I'll remember forever.
Well,
I'll remember that's the reactions. Point. And the next night, and I mentioned all the things that it led to. The Yes Moment was big. Suplex City ended up having the Ultimate Warrior thing. Daniel Bryan had to retire. Evolution, The Shield. It just led to a lot of storylines that pushed away from Undertaker.
Yeah, well, we didn't see The Undertaker for a full year after that when he came back and fought Bray Wyatt. And I was actually watching that WrestleMania with our good friend Bill Neville of the New Age Insiders. Shout out to him. We were just absolutely shocked, just like you said there. So, yes, Joe, it's a moment. That is a moment there. And it took me a while to get over that there, that Brock did beat him and end the streak and so forth. And I get why they did it. It was a business move. Would I have booked it? No. But I understand why they did it. And you know what? I think it may be best for business for that time. 6 years later, here we are. Boom.
Mike, what was your favorite all-time WrestleMania moment?
So ironically enough, we're taping today. It was 22 years ago today, WrestleMania 14 in Boston at the Fleet Center. I was very lucky to be there. Got word that I would be attending 4 hours before, or actually 3 hours before, rushed in to grab my tickets to the Park Plaza where my uncle worked. That's where all the wrestlers stayed at the time. They don't stay there anymore, so don't go camp out the Park Plaza when WWE is in Boston. But we got tickets for that. Myself, my dad, and my brother, we went in. It was the top three moment of my life for events I've ever attended. Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he hit the stunner on Shawn Michaels at the end, loudest pop I've ever heard in an arena for any sporting event that I've been to, Patriots playoff games, Red Sox playoff games, Celtics, Bruins, all that stuff, loudest pop ever have heard in my life when Mike Tyson came in, did the 1-2-3. And it was just the beginning of the new Attitude Era. Everyone just kind of knew Austin was going to win. Shawn Michaels, so much heat on him. That was just so important for WWF at the time. And the storylines it brought out of that WrestleMania, too. The Rock was the new leader of the Nation of Domination after that. You saw the new DX crew jump on there after that. That was the beginning of the Attitude Era right there. Stone Cold Steve Austin carried the torch, though, when he beat Shawn Michaels and Mike Tyson won. 2-3 Undertaker, Kane, two, first time they fought. That is my favorite WrestleMania moment of all time. There you go.
So my favorite WrestleMania moment of all time is the Hardys returning at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando.
What a pop, huh?
Nice. That was a huge pop, too.
Huge
didn't see it coming. They had the night before wrestled the Young Bucks in Ring of Honor. And they dropped the Ring of Honor tag team titles to the Young Bucks. And we all thought that that was a continuation of a story because they showed up randomly in Ring of Honor, and there was a deal. There was going to be a deal between Impact Wrestling, TNA, and Ring of Honor, where they're going to feature the Hardys and the Young Bucks. And then that changed. And it changed because the contracts weren't set in stone. They had a WWE opt-out, something like that. And so ladder match is set up with Enzo and Cass, who I think were going to win the titles against Cesaro and Sheamus, against Gallows and Anderson, who walked into WrestleMania as the tag team champions. And New Day comes out as host of WrestleMania and says, oh, we're adding a fourth team. They start to come to the ring, and then the Hardys music hits, which nobody expected. And here are the Hardys. Here are the Hardys coming back for WrestleMania. The crowd was into the Delete Swanton thing, which had been
bombs, Twists of Fate,
all that stuff, all the high spots. Awesome and pop. They win the tag team titles. And just the energy for that 10-minute span in Orlando. I was there. It was cool. Mike, you were there. Joe, did you make it to that one?
Yeah, it was the biggest pop I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, because nobody, and it's such a lost thing in wrestling, is the surprise pop.
Yep.
And the Hardys coming out and winning the tag team titles definitely was that surprise pop and that surprise reaction. So that, for me, is my favorite. I think probably the best surprise WrestleMania moment of all time is Seth Rollins cashing in his Money in the Bank contract at WrestleMania 31 as the main event, beating Roman Reigns and, by proxy, Brock Lesnar for that championship. And that was a surprise, as Seth Rollins has told me. He found out an hour before it happened that he was going to cash in. So he loses the match to Randy Orton at WrestleMania 31 in San Francisco, goes to the back, and is essentially told that, oh, by the way, you're winning the title tonight on a cash-in. So I know that that's a favorite moment of a lot of people. I know Austin bleeding at WrestleMania 13 is a favorite moment.
Yeah, that's a great match.
From my childhood, one of the worst moments in WrestleMania history was the Ultimate Warrior beating Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6. I cried at the end of that match because it's the Ultimate Warrior. Get out of here with that nonsense. And you know, just kind of in closing, WrestleMania 3 was March 29th, 1987. And for me, and for a lot of people, Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant is the most important thing in wrestling history. That match, 93,000 in the Pontiac Silverdome. March 29th, 1987 is the day when my wrestling fandom began. And my parents, longtime wrestling fans, they used to go on dates and see Bruno Sammartino at the Garden, superstar Billy Graham. My dad's favorite wrestler was Larry Zbysko, and especially when he turned on Bruno Sammartino. But my parents brought me to the closed-circuit broadcast of WrestleMania 3 at Boston University's Walter Brown Arena. And because of that, I have been so blessed to have had wrestling in my life, and so many friendships and experiences. My mom and dad, they don't watch the product anymore. They follow it more through my eyes and my experiences. And so the point of me telling you this story is that wrestling brings people together.
Yes, it
and
does.
WrestleMania brought me together. And because of WrestleMania 3, I'm doing this podcast. I've got friendships with you guys and a lot of other people. So
here, now, and forever.
Not forever, but for here and now.
Hey, may I just say, though,
until I burn out of wrestling altogether, or I get done with WWE, because other things in life become a priority.
March 29th should be a national holiday, because WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 14, and WrestleMania 31. So there you go. All happened on March 29th. That's three big moments there we just talked about. So make it a national holiday. Let's go, boys.
National holiday is a little strong, but
well, we're going to make it one for us to commemorate
WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, to honorary commemorate it. There you go.
Yeah, you can buy the I Wasn't There Tampa shirts.
I have three Tampa shirts, one courtesy of Sarge.
Yep.
And two that, like, it's going to say Tampa. Oh, God.
I know. It's heartbreaking.
I respect them for selling them, but I'm like, why would I want to remember WrestleMania that I didn't go to? Why? So I can get a cheap laugh?
If I can, yeah, wait for a week after, it'll be $5 on. So if I can say something, oh, please. Jimmy and I talked about this 2 weeks ago here. Just enjoy whatever we're getting right now. It's new content. Like, sure as hell, I'm going to be depressed as hell. I mean, I'm really feeling down about everything this past couple of weeks. Life could be a lot worse for me, but still, I'm down. I'm not lying, okay? It's been tough. Just anyone out there, give them a call. Make sure they're okay, especially for those that aren't going to WrestleMania. Just enjoy what we're getting, though. New content, it's a big thing, and it's important for fans of all alike here to just embrace what we have.
Yeah, and just in closing, guys, I know this has been a long podcast this week. Usually you guys are 40 minutes to an hour, so I appreciate you guys having me on. And just in general, I know we work in sports talk radio, but a lot of people out there love this type of content. There's a lot of downtime right now, and you know, 2 years ago I started getting into the mortgage guy from Alabama and found out that, you know, 83 weeks was a thing. And now I'm starting to listen to other podcasts and your podcast. And, you know, I think that during this time, I know that there are more wrestling fans, or the closet fans are starting to turn back around and going to wrestling because it's live, it's real. And I'm excited to see what happens next week, and I won't be critical about it.
Yeah, WrestleMania is going to be interesting. And there's a part of me that's glad that it's happening, because it's something for us to discuss and it's something that is progressing forward. But I just hate the fact that someone's life and medical issues weren't flagged.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the bigger story, is a performer shouldn't have had to have medically disqualified himself from a performance, from a wrestling match. And that's kind of the downside. But for those who are performing and have been performing, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for your entertainment. I know I reached out to a bunch of people I know and thanking them for their hard work. And this should have been WrestleMania week. You guys should have been on a flight to Tampa later this week. I should have been living vicariously through your social media and through your text messages in Tampa. I was not going to this year's WrestleMania. I'm not going to Los Angeles. That's a bit of a flight. So hopefully the next time that wrestling gathers together will be Boston, Massachusetts in August for SummerSlam weekend. And I know that there are some plans that are being put in place to make sure that that weekend, if we are allowed to have that weekend, August is a long time away, but maybe it isn't a long time away.
Gotta be positive.
So hopefully Boston and SummerSlam will be the next big WWE event for us all. And it's a gathering and a celebration and something we can have fun with, because that, I think, is something that's very important. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 98.5, hosted by Joe Murray and the Loose Cannon Dan Lifshatz. Good luck betting on Turkish football. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Joe Murray at Joey Murr on Twitter. For Mike Riley at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can email the show, WrestleCast985@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. Enjoy WrestleMania. This year's WrestleMania is just too big for just one night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.